Isaiah 26, and Andrew's going to help me with this reading. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah.
We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith.
You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself, is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down, the feet of the oppressed, the footsteps of the poor.
The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth.
Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the desire of our hearts.
My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord.
O Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them.
Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. O Lord our God, other lords besides you have ruled over us, but your name alone do we honor. They are now dead. They live no more. Those departed spirits do not rise. You punished them and brought them to ruin. You wiped out all memory of them.
You have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have enlarged the nation. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land.
Lord, they came to you in their distress. When you disciplined them, they could barely whisper a prayer. As a woman with child and about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pain, so were we in your presence, O Lord. We were with child. We writhed in pain, but we gave birth to wind. We have not brought salvation to the earth. We have not given birth to the people of the world.
But your dead will live, Lord. Their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead.
Go, my people. Enter your rooms and shut the doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until his wrath has passed by. See, the Lord is coming out of his dwelling to punish the people of the earth for their sins. The earth will disclose the bloodshed on her. She will conceal her slain no longer. Thank you.
Steve, we welcome you. Please come and speak.
Good to be here and good to be able to speak with you today and share with you today. I was given the text from Isaiah that you've heard, but only a couple of verses in that. And I'm really going to focus today from Isaiah on verse 26, chapter 26, verse 3. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. I'm going to make application from that, from a great story in Acts 27, and see how when we get involved in storms of life, and when the future is uncertain, how will we keep our mind on God? He gives us peace in the midst of the storm. And so I want to catch you up with what's going on in Acts 27. Paul has a desire to appear before Caesar. Paul wants to witness to Caesar. Imagine that. And God has promised him that he will go, that he will make it. And God has arranged for this to happen by Paul being a prisoner. And so now Rome is going to pay for Paul to get to Rome. And he goes as a prisoner. They hire a ship to take him. Now, where did I make this click? Do I have to turn it on?
Turn it off and on.
Oh, it probably went to sleep while I was. Hey, I stayed awake, but the little thing went to sleep. There we go. All right, you can see on the yellow line the journey that Paul took. And
here's Crete. So they begin here in Caesarea. They journeyed around to here, and that's as far as that ship went. They got the prisoners off, hired another ship, put the prisoners on there, and they sailed around to Crete. They stopped at a place in Crete. And now it's beginning to be a bad time of the year to sail. And Paul said to them, we need to stay right here on Crete for the winter. But the place where they had stopped was not a good place to winter. The harbor wasn't as good, and there were not good places to eat and to drink. And so the sailors said, we don't want to stay here for the winter. We want to move on to a different place on Crete. And Paul said, you better not go. It's not a good time of the year. But the sailors talked the captain of the ship. Well, the owner of the ship and the captain of the ship talked the Roman centurion who was in charge of prisoners into, let's go around to this other port. Everybody thought it was a good idea except for Paul. And so they set sail. The weather was, it's a beautiful day like today, favorable wind. They set sail, and they're beginning to try to make their way around Crete, and a storm blew up, but not just any storm, a storm that we would call a hurricane blew up. And they tried to stay near Crete, but they were blown off course. They tried to get to that little island, but they didn't make it, and now you see the yellow line. They are blown off course. Nobody sailed down here. Uncharted waters, stormy weather. And we pick up the story in verse 18. The next day they were being violently storm-tossed. They began to jettison the cargo. And on the third day they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. Now they're just losing hope of being in control at all. Verse 20, since neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small storm was assailing us, from then on all hope of our being saved was gradually abandoned. Now Luke is writing those words. He's losing hope. The sailors who sailed this sea all their lives were losing hope. All those on the ship were losing hope. They threw off some of their cargo. That's their profit. They threw the ship's tackle off. We're not reading this part of the text, but in one part of the text, they put ropes underneath the boat to help the boat be held together. And they're losing hope. And so the question of the day is, what do you do when you're in stormy weather and uncharted waters? What do you do in 2017 is there's a storm going on in your life and you feel like you're losing control? And as you look to the future, it's uncharted waters. You're going into a place you've never been. You're going maybe to a place you don't want to go. You look ahead into the future and the future is cloudy. What do you do? And today we'll answer that question from the Word of God. The first thing I want to encourage you to do in stormy weather and uncharted waters is to believe God. To believe God. Paul gathered the people together. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood before me. The angel saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold, God
has granted you, one translation says, God has graciously granted you all who are sailing with you. Therefore, keep up your courage, men, for I believe God that it will turn out exactly as I have been told. The angel told Paul, don't be afraid. Now, why did the angel tell Paul to not be afraid? Because Paul was afraid. Just like any of us. You're on a ship. Now, you're on a ship in a hurricane. You've been on a ship in a hurricane, we'll find out a little later, for nearly 2 weeks. You can't see land. You can't see the stars. You're being blown about. You can't steer the ship. You're in the middle of nowhere. You really think you're going to die. Everybody on the ship thinks they're going to die. You would be afraid too. And Paul was human and he was afraid. And God sent an angel to say, don't be afraid. And then the angel said, you're going to make it to Caesar, Paul. God has ordained it. You and everybody on the ship, God has ordained that you will make it. And Paul said, I believe God. Now listen. He didn't say, I believe in God. He said, I believe God. And that is the essence of faith. It's one thing to believe in God. There are a lot of people that believe in God. Oh, I think there is a God. I think there's a God out there somewhere. I believe in God. It's one thing to say, I believe in God, but it's a totally different thing to say, I believe God. God had spoken to Paul and said, you will make it. Now look, it didn't look like he was going to make it. None of the circumstances in Paul's life at this moment looked like he was going to make it. In fact, everybody else thought they were going to die. But God said, you're going to make it. And Paul said, I believe God. Now, where in your life today do you need to believe God? Not believe in him, but believe him. What promise in his word do you need to believe today to help you make it through the storm that you're facing? What promise of the word of God do you need to believe today to help you as you go into uncharted waters, an unforeseen future? And today I come to encourage you to believe God. And we come to our text. The steadfast of mind. That steadfast of mind phrase really means those who are focused on God. Those who are focused on God, you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. And in the middle of the storm, when Paul got a word from God and he believed God, he found peace in the storm. Bible commentator David Guzik says this, Paul believed God when there was nothing else to believe. He couldn't believe the sailors, the ship, the sails, the wind, the centurion, human ingenuity, or anything else. Only God and God alone. This was not a fair weather faith. He believed God in the midst of the storm when circumstances were at their worst. What do we do when we're facing stormy weather and uncharted waters? Number one, we believe God. We build our life on his word. Number two, we get moving. We get moving. Look at verse 28. They took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. And a little farther on, they took another sounding and found it to be 15 fathoms. Now, what that means is the water's getting more shallow. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wished for daybreak. They're throwing out anchors. We're heading. It's the middle of the night. They can't see what's happening, but they're taking these soundings. Oh, the water's getting shallower. It must be headed for land, but we can't see it. We're going to die again. They cast out anchors and they wish for daybreak. There's a time to be still and to seek God. But once God has spoken, there's a time to act. And for us to be in God's will, it involves action on God's part, but it involves actions on our part. And when God has spoken, it's time for us to get moving. And so the sailors did what they knew how to do. Hey, what can we do? We can take some soundings. Let's see what's happening. And they said the water's beginning to get more shallow. Now, here's the danger. Here's the danger. When we're in stormy weather and uncharted waters, it's easy to be paralyzed by fear and indecision. I don't know what to do, so I don't want to do anything. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to stay in bed today. I'm going to pull the covers over my head and stay in bed today. Or I'm going to stay on the couch. It's easy to be paralyzed by fear and by indecision. And when God has spoken, it's a time to get moving. And there's an opportunity for some of you to get moving right here in this church. On Wednesday nights, these children come. Now think about this. You have children from this community that come to this church on Wednesday night. Most of them are not here on Sunday morning. But they're children who do not know the Lord. And they're freely coming of their own free will because they want to this church. To spend a little time with some older people who are telling them about Jesus. And now you need some ladies to get involved. Andrew's here, David's here, Matt Hart is here, Laura Hart's been doing that, she's off at university. These guys are here, they're prepared, they've got a lesson, but it's not good for them to be with these little girls. And so they need a young lady or an older lady. Any one of you could come just on Wednesday night to be there, to engage and interact with these young girls who are coming. Now think about it. You're not having to go to them. They're coming to you to tell them that God loves them. And so what skills do you need? All you have to do is love them. David's teaching the story. Andrew's teaching the story. What they need to see is here is somebody who doesn't even know me, but they love me. Can you do that? It's easy to be paralyzed by fear and indecision. But if you'll just get moving, I think you'll find something out. Clarity often comes with action. Clarity often comes with action and not before action. So many times we want God to show us how everything's going to work out, and He just doesn't. But when you begin to take a step in the right direction in the will of God, clarity comes with action and not before action. So someone today will need to take a step of faith. To be obedient to the call of God on your life. What do you do in stormy weather and uncharted waters? You believe God, you get moving, and then you must keep your disciplines. Look at verse 33. Until the day was about to dawn, Paul was encouraging them all to take some food. Listen to what he's about to say. Today is the 14th day that you have been constantly watching and going without eating. Having taken nothing. Therefore I encourage you to take some food. For this is for your preservation. For not a hair from the head of any of you will perish. Having said this, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all. And broke it and began to eat. All of them were encouraged and they themselves also took food. They hadn't eaten for 2 weeks. Now why hadn't they eaten for 2 weeks? Well, they were scared. Fear takes away your appetite. They thought they were going to die. Depression takes away your appetite. They were probably seasick. Some of them are in this huge storm. And then it's hard to prepare food on a ship in the middle of a hurricane. They had a lot of good reasons not to eat. But how do you feel if you haven't eaten for 2 weeks? You feel weak and discouraged. And Paul says you haven't eaten for 2 weeks because you thought you're going to die. I'm here to say you're going to live. You're going to live. You're going to need some energy to get off this ship and to be saved. Eat. And the people begin to eat. And they felt better. Listen, it's so easy in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a crisis, it's so easy to give up on our disciplines. But it's when we're in a crisis that we must keep them. And so we need to stay in the Word. You need to stay in the Word in the midst of a crisis. You need to take care of yourself physically. You need to rest. You need to get eat well. You need to exercise. Of course, you get so much more exercise here naturally because you walk so much more than we do in America. I don't have to tell you to exercise, do I? And then the last one that's so important. In the midst of a crisis, you must stay in community. It's a discipline to come to be a part of this fellowship. And when you're in a crisis, it's so easy to withdraw. And yet it is a spiritual discipline to say, I will not withdraw, but I will come and I will be with the people at Lansing Tab. And here you will find strength and here you will find encouragement. In the midst of a storm, we need to examine our anchors. Fearing that we might run aground somewhere on the rocks, they cast four anchors from the stern and wish for daybreak. Anchors are something we hang on to in the midst of the storm. Anchors, spiritually, are spiritual truths. You hang on to your anchors in the dark. The text said they wished for daybreak. They couldn't see what was going on around them. They knew something was happening, but they couldn't see it. And they wanted daybreak. They wanted light. But what do you do when there's not light? You hang on to your anchors in the dark. And the Lord comes today to encourage you to hang on to Him. The steadfast of mind, those who are focused on you, those who are focused on your word, you will keep in perfect peace because you trust in Him. Do you want peace in the storm? When we're in the storm, we always want the storm to end. But God promises us peace in the midst of the storm. While the storm is still going on, He said, you can have peace if you'll focus on me. We need to be careful in the midst of the storm where they don't bail out on God. When the storm first came, their lifeboat that was on the ship was about to be torn away. And so the sailors picked the lifeboat up and put the lifeboat on the ship. And so now here they are. There's time to throw out anchors. And these sailors go to pretend they're throwing out anchors. But they're actually trying to put the sailboat in the water, the lifeboat in the water, so they can escape. Look at verse 30. But as the sailors were trying to escape from the ship and had let down the ship's boat into the sea, on the pretense of intending to lay out anchors from the bow, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, unless these men remain in the ship, you yourselves cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut away the rope from the ship's boat and let it fall away. God had promised Paul that everyone on the ship would be safe. And here these guys are trying to bail out. Oh, we're going to get off the boat. The ship's starting to break apart. We're going to get off the ship. We're going to sneak out in the lifeboat. Now, these centurions, they're taking the lifeboat and leaving everybody else behind. And Paul catches them. He says, hey, those guys are trying to get away. Listen, if they leave in that lifeboat, I can't promise they'll be safe. And in the midst of the storm, they cut away the lifeboat. They took away their options. And I'm just telling you, in the midst of the storm, don't bail out on God. That your enemy, the devil, will always come and give you options to bail out. And it looks like in the short term, the ship's going to sink. We're not going to make it. I'm going to bail out. I'm going to get in a lifeboat. But listen, if the sailors left in the lifeboat, they would have probably almost certainly died. And God's will often seems difficult in the short term, but it always works out in the long term. And God is saying to you today, if your life looks hard now, and you think God has forgotten you and God has lost sight of you, don't bail out on God, because while it might look easy in the short term, it's going to work out for you better in the long term if you stay with God. And so today, maybe you need to cut away the lifeboat of escape from God's will and say, I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. And then there is a time to lighten the load and to cut loose some anchors, some false beliefs or outdated practices. Verse 38 said, when they had eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship by throwing out wheat into the sea. Verse 39, when day came, they could not recognize the land. But they did observe a bay with a beach, and they resolved to drive the ship onto it if they could. So they've seen land. There's hope. Now look at verse 40. And casting off the anchors, they left them in the sea, while at the same time they were loosening the ropes of the rudders and hoisting the foresail to the wind, and they were heading for the beach. They were doing something to make a difference. They were not going to get where they were going. They're not going to get where they wanted to go if they didn't make some changes. They were not going to get where they wanted to go if they didn't make some changes. And that's true of you and me. We're not going to get where we want to go, where God wants us to go, if we don't make some changes. And so they had thrown out the anchors, and now they're cutting the anchors loose. And they're heading for land. They threw the cargo overboard. There goes all their money. But this wasn't about making money anymore. This is about saving lives. And how interesting it is that those who seek a materialistic life, those who seek to find life in material things, often find it empty. And God said, if you'll just put everything on me, you'll find joy and you'll find peace. You have to cut loose for some things to get where God wants you to go. And so how do you know what to hang on to and what to let go of? You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. There's a difference between biblical truth that we hang on to and outdated practices that we let go of. There's some truths that we hang on to. I've never done it that way before. There's some things you hang on to. I've always tithed and I refuse to not tithe. I've always been faithful to my wife. I refuse to not be faithful to my wife. There's some things I hang on to. They're biblical truth. But there are other things that we need to let go of. Things that are based in pride or based in human tradition or based in fear. How many times does the enemy come and whisper in your ear, you can't do that? And you say to yourselves, I can't do that, or I'm not comfortable doing that, or I can't teach, or I can't work with the children, I can't share my faith, I can't afford to tithe, I can't do that. And over and over again, we just say to ourselves, what I can't do, I can't do, I can't do. And it's based in fear, or it's based in pride, or we've always done it that way, and it's human traditions. And there comes a time we've got to let go. We've got to ask ourselves, am I acting out of faith? Or am I acting out of fear? And then, there comes a time you've got to jump in and swim with everything you've got. And this is my last point. Hang on. Hang on. Verse 43. Look at this. But the centurion, he's the guy in charge, commanded that those who could swim jump overboard first and get to land. If you can swim, get off the ship. And there's the land. You go. But verse 44, and the rest should follow. If you can't swim, you've got to jump in. If you can't swim, you have to jump in. The rest should follow, some on planks and others on various things from the ship. And so it happened that they were all brought to land safely. There were 267 people on the ship, or maybe it's 276 on the ship. Some could swim, some could not. All had to jump in. And they all made it. There just comes a time when you've got to jump in and swim. There comes a time when you've got to take a step of faith and be obedient to God. And you've got to jump in and swim with all your heart. Being in God's will and staying in God's will involves action on God's part and effort on our part. And sometimes we've got to make adjustments. And there comes a time for us to be in God's will. We've got to jump in and swim with everything we've got. And you're going to fail. Your failure doesn't mean that you're out of God's will. Listen, your failure is part of the process. Your failures are not final, and your failures are not fatal. They're part of the process as you learn to follow God and depend on Him. And there comes a time when you've got to jump in and swim with everything you've got. And there are other times when the door's not going to open if you're not moving toward it. There's a place in the New Testament where Herod had James, the brother of John, killed. And it pleased the Jews so much, Herod had Peter arrested, and he planned to kill Peter. And the night before Peter was to appear before Herod, an angel appeared in the cell with Peter. That story is in Acts chapter 12. Verse 6 says, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers and bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. We're not told, but I bet the chains didn't fall off until Peter got up. Two guards there, they don't wake up. A guard at the door, they get past the guard, they head out, And verse 10 says, when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate which leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And I would say to you that that gate did not open until they were moving towards it. God opens doors as we move forward in faith. And many times the doors don't open until we begin steps of obedience that must be taken when the doors are still closed. And you have to be led by the Spirit. And if the Spirit is leading you to go, as you go, the Lord will open the doors. So in closing, are you in the midst of a storm? Is God leading you into uncharted waters? You must trust Him. Keep your eyes on Him, your ears tuned to Him, and your mind focused on Him. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because He trusts in you. Hear it in a different translation. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we thank you for being our rock in the midst of the storm. And some of us today are living in the midst of a storm. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose control. And it's such an uncomfortable feeling to know there are things that are beyond our control, but they impact our life every day. And as we stand here and look forward, we look forward and the future may be cloudy and it may be uncertain. But we serve a God who is already there in the future. We serve a God who holds us in His very hands. We serve a God who loves us and will care for us. And we serve a God who will give us peace if we will just trust Him. And so help us, Father, today to trust You, to keep our eyes on You and to follow You. There are some here today that You're calling to take a step of obedience. It might be a fearful step, but it'll be an obedient step. And whenever that happens, it turns into a joyful step. There are others here today that need to be encouraged not to bail out on You, but just to stay the course where they are and to trust You. And Father, there are others here today that need to let go of some things so they can move forward freely in Your will. We ask that Your Spirit would speak to each one of us to let us know how to respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Steve, thank you.